This is Images. I'm Fred Martino. Thanks for being with us. The International Symposium for Personal and Commercial Space Flight is coming to Las Cruces, as it does each and every year. October 12th it starts. There is an opening reception and a luncheon on October 11th. And you can find lots more information at ispcs.com. We will have that website address for you again later in our half hour. I am pleased to have with us for the half hour today Dr. Pat Hines. She is director of the New Mexico Space Grant Consortium at New Mexico State University. And she joins us every year to talk about this symposium and commercial space flight in our region. Dr. Hines, it is great to have you here.
Thank you, Fred. It's great to be back.
So let's talk about some of the highlights in the symposium. You work on this all year long. This is your big event of the year, and there always are such fascinating speakers. You have folks coming in from NASA, the Federal Aviation Administration, the military. You have such a mix of folks, and of course, commercial companies like Boeing. It's unbelievable. I look at this lineup, and I just marvel at the people that you attract.
Thank you, Fred. And it is a marvel to me every year, I have to say, when somebody like Gary Wentz with United Launch Alliance, who's head of human spaceflight, who worked with Paul Allen on the Strato launcher, and he's the co-founder of Microsoft, and Paul Allen is also the man who licensed to Richard Branson the design for Spaceship Two, Unity, and the whole idea that we have a airline-style operations of a space line here coming to New Mexico. It's a remarkable thing for us to have it, but that I am putting myself in the place of your listener. If I wasn't in the space industry, after all, we know I'm an English major, don't we? I'd be sitting in my house going, what?
Yeah.
What is she talking about, really? I mean, come on. This is a farming community. So one of the people coming to the symposium works on what we call space resource access. So here's another far-out concept that we will be mining space resources from asteroids, the moon, and beyond. And that is, by law, recently enacted the Commercial Space Launch Competitiveness Act of 2015, has put in place a regulatory regime that we will be discussing at ISPCS with three people who are on the Hague Working Group for this international space mining.
That's amazing. So the idea that folks can actually make money going up to another planet and doing mining. So this is another possible industry that we're looking at in the future from commercial spaceflight.
And the idea is so bizarre. However, we are parties to the International Space Treaty, and in order for us to license a company like Moon Express, and the president of Moon Express I talked to on Sunday, in order for us to issue a license, the Federal Aviation Administration issues a mission authorization license to give Moon Express the license to begin preparations to go to the moon to mine, and they are part of the XPRIZE Google Lunar Lander program. So Google's been involved in this for 9 years.
Mm.
One of the things that our listeners do is they use the name of a company, which is now called Alphabet, but Google is a verb. Used to be the name of a company.
Yeah.
It's a verb now. And Google saw years ago that it's only necessary but not sufficient for the world to be able to access information. So it's necessary for Google to organize the world's information, but getting it out to the world's population is the second half of the equation. And so Google is now in the business of owning and operating satellites, and that system, Terabella, that one of the founders of Skybox, which is now Terabella, was at the symposium last year, and she hopefully will be coming next year. All of these things I'm talking about are interlinked with the agenda. And
so you have folks talking about this idea of mining in space,
yep.
of launching more satellites, communication,
yep.
And that these are potentials for Spaceport America that go beyond the headliner that we're all waiting for, Virgin Galactic.
Virgin is developing their own launch vehicle called Launcher One for the delivery of small satellites. And the man who's running that program for Virgin, one of them, met the president of Virgin Galactic at ISPCS, Barry Matsumori. He was working for SpaceX at the time. And he met George Whitesides at ISPCS, and he's now working for Virgin. ISPCS does a lot of things beyond just the meeting itself. What we're giving people and some of the investors an understanding of who's doing what is necessary to move the industry ahead, who's going to be changing the way we access space. That's what ISPCS is about. So people come from all over the world to attend as well as to speak. And we have this opportunity. I realize this is not for everybody, but we do have the Community Partnership Luncheon, which is $25 for people to come to the Farm and Ranch on October 11th to spend a little time with people who are working in the industry. This year, what we're going to have is some of the interns who worked at Virgin Galactic, NMSU interns, were working all summer long at Virgin, so they'll be there. Jonathan Firth, the senior vice president at Virgin Galactic, will be speaking along with Jim Vanderploo, who's the chief scientist for Virgin Galactic and chief medical officer for Virgin Galactic. The reason I'm having them speak is because Eddie Binns at Rotary said to me, I want to hear about the jobs. I want to hear basically from the horse's mouth. Where are the jobs? There's a lot of people working here right now in this industry that you'd never hear about unless we asked Jonathan to tell you.
All right. And for folks to find out more information about the entire agenda and that Community Partnership Luncheon, the website is ispcs.com. Pat, before we move on to some other topics, any specific highlights you want to mention from the symposium? We don't have time to go through every speaker, but some of the speakers, I mean, as mentioned, you have such a lineup. I mean, people from NASA, from FAA, from Boeing, it just runs the gamut.
It's truly amazing, but I think that what I want the listeners to know is that I have one speaker here from Copenhagen, Denmark. And he is not in the space industry. He's a designer, and he actually designed instrumentation and eventually the building for Bang Olufsen. He came to the symposium last year because he wanted us to think about speaking to people other than each other. He wants us to look outward into non-space geeks. Who else is out there that can help us with so many of the missions that we need to accomplish? Well, we have two NMSU graduates who are very, very highly placed in the space industry. The head of human spaceflight at NASA is Kathy Leaders, and she's a graduate of NMSU. The head of human spaceflight at Boeing is John Mulholland, and he's a graduate of NMSU. So those are highlights for me.
All right. Fantastic. There is something new this year, too, to talk about. In addition to your wonderful lineup of speakers, there is an event called The Summit, and I like the name. It's an interactive workshop held at Virgin Galactic's operating base at Spaceport America, and this is going to happen on Friday, October 14th. Tell us about The Summit.
The Summit on the Power of Inclusion is about what it says. We need to be recruiting people like this summer with Virgin. Jonathan was absolutely adamant. He wanted interns from New Mexico working at the Gateway, which is at Spaceport America. He didn't want an intern from Princeton. He didn't want one from Purdue. He wanted them from NMSU. And Jonathan is actually lecturing here on campus because he wants people to know how many people they have recruited, and really extraordinary people from NMSU. He wants people to know the power of inclusion doesn't mean we just want to include women and people of color in the space industry. We want geographic diversity, and they also want discipline diversity. So it's not just that we need STEM, science, technology, engineering people. We need hospitality people here. He needs communications people. They need logistics people. They need people who understand how to do communications. There is quite a need for a variety of disciplines and educational background. And what better place could you put an operations center for a space line? They need maintenance people than at a university in a university town and a state university. Because when you think about working at an airport, you don't need rocket scientists crawling all over the site to do parking or to take care of the visitor experience. You don't need that. What we need is a variety of people who can handle the variety of people who want to use the Gateway to Space. So they have a message that they've been working hard on, and so has, you know, the people at Spaceport America. They're two different, completely different organizations.
Yeah.
Virgin Galactic operates like a Southwest Airlines. And then you have the airport, which operates the whole airport. So Spaceport America is the airport, you know, like operates the whole facility, and Virgin just operates like Southwest Airlines.
Yeah. And boy, that is an exciting future, because I think right now, people think about space tourism, and they think about only the folks who have extreme wealth who are going up to have the experience of going into space and coming back down. But as you point out, into the future, the possibility of having in our region a spaceport that is like an airport that we have today, so you could go to Europe in a flash.
That's a totally different business, but yeah. Yes, what we're talking about here is a vision that we had when I started working on Spaceport America of airline-style operations. Mm-hmm. That is, that we have a potentially very quick turnaround so that the vehicle goes up, does its job, comes back down, is ready to go within possibly 2 days, 3 days. It's refueled, it's refurbished, and it's ready to go again. So that's what I mean by airline-style operations.
Yeah, and that just is incredibly exciting. So I want to talk about another issue that you touched on in a recent column for the Sun News, and the columns are also available on our website at krwg.org. You talked about the importance of vertical launches at Spaceport America. Let's talk about that for folks who are not familiar with the importance of that and why you say this is important for Spaceport America.
If we think about a vertical launch, when we think about the whole Stack, when the space shuttle launched from the Cape, it had the orbiter attached to a very large rocket with a bunch of boosters and fuel. So the orbiter was on the side of the rocket, so it took off in a vertical configuration. It took off going straight up in the air. And so you had a launch pad, and when the vehicle, the orbiter, came back, it came back as a winged, eventually, aircraft came through the atmosphere and landed in a horizontal position.
Right.
Okay? Spaceport America has both vertical and horizontal launch capability. Okay. Virgin Galactic is going to be a horizontal takeoff and landing capability. So it will take off with the spaceship slung underneath an aircraft. So it will take off like an airplane, and the spacecraft will come in as a glider and land like an airplane.
Ah, but we need that vertical for other types of missions.
Yeah, and the vertical launch facility that we have over there is where we can potentially grow the operators. So we don't just have Southwest Airlines. We have Delta. We have United. And in the case right now with the technology as it is, we have one vertical launch operator at Spaceport America, and they launch maybe once a year, maybe twice a year. What a ridiculous waste of that capability that we have. And the reason for our not recruiting more vertical launch operators is not what I'm going to talk about. What I can tell you is that there are more vertical launch operators out there. Depending on their technology, is whether Spaceport America is the right location for them, depending on what they want to do. So if you want to go back and forth to work, you don't need a bulldozer. You know, if you need to launch a lot of stuff to orbit, that's more the bulldozer type deal. If you want to go back and forth, and if you want to place a satellite into polar orbit right now, we can do that, depending on your technology, from Spaceport America. And these are things we have to go out and work, and we have to work in partnership with White Sands Missile Range. They are a very essential part of our launch corridor. So these are all things we have in the neighborhood, and there's no excuse for us not to maximize this.
Okay. We talked earlier about some of the potential businesses that go beyond space tourism, launching more satellites and different types of satellites, mining in space. Other things you want to mention as potentials for Spaceport America, possible businesses that could be located here.
Get a spaceport director who understands business. Mm-hmm. Get a spaceport director who's qualified to run a launch and reentry site. Use the site for how it was designed. Use the site to maximize and optimize its capabilities. We're a mile higher than the Cape. We have capabilities here that limit us, but there's capabilities we have that nobody else has. So we have to go out and actually ask people to use our site.
So it really, you need a marketer in chief.
Yes, sir.
All right. That's
who knows the industry.
Let's talk about the educational aspects. You've already touched on the fact that New Mexico State University students have had the opportunity to intern, and some are being hired in the space industry. This is really exciting. NMSU was named a Center for Excellence for Commercial Space Transportation. Tell me about that.
I wrote the winning proposal that got us designated as the lead for this center. And essentially, this is a center of excellence established by the FAA, Office of Commercial Space Transportation, and the head of the FAA, AST, Dr. George Neild, will be speaking at ISPCS. The reason he wanted to establish this center of excellence was to have people like myself involved, and also like NASA, like Jim Vanderplu, who's Virgin Galactic's chief medical officer, to do research on human spaceflight subjects. And since we are going to be recruiting the human spaceflight participants, it's what the FAA calls future astronauts, spaceflight participants, they'll be recruited from the general population. And these are people who have had a stroke or maybe diabetes or have had a prosthetic device installed in somewhere in their body. They are people who might have had a traumatic head injury at some point in their life. And so what Virgin has hired Jim Vanderplu to do is to, and the FAA is also very interested in this work, look at the general population and recruit people from the general population to be tested just and trained, just like future astronauts, space flight participants will be trained, see how they do. Mm-hmm. Will they be able to handle the rigors of this suborbital flight? And so he'll be there talking about his research and possibly how we can use Burrell College.
Isn't that fascinating? So, you know, you mentioned earlier this potential for New Mexico State graduates in tourism, in engineering. Now we're talking about our new institution, the Burrell College of Osteopathic Medicine, on our campus, that there are medical job possibilities, researching how going into space affects the body.
And yes, so what we hope is we can develop this line of business. And here we have this wonderful institution, NMSU, right here. Virgin is very interested in working with us, and they're serious. They are, you know, Jonathan in particular has a very specific agenda in mind, integrating the university into his work. He's fascinated by the university and all the learning opportunities. He's a scholar in many ways, so it's been very wonderful. I've known him for about 10 years. I met his daughter, and the pair of them, when they were here, this is years ago, they had two suitcases, both of them filled with books. They loved the Coas bookstore. you never would think it, but the people are remarkable sometimes. And they don't talk much about themselves unless I drag it out of them.
Yeah. Well, thanks for bringing us up to speed on this. Again, we just, in a half hour, just touched the surface. There's tons of information about the agenda for the International Symposium for Personal and Commercial Spaceflight coming up in Las Cruces next month. You can go to their website, ispcs.com, for a lot more information. And if you joined us halfway through, this entire interview is on our website, on the images page in the radio section at krwg.org. Dr. Pat Hines is the director of the New Mexico Space Grant Consortium at New Mexico State University. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Dr. Martino.